Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Matt Peck, also the host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. Follow me on Twitter at Bulls _Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and on Instagram as well at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail line, that's 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all of your questions, comments, thoughts about this draft season for our beloved Bulls. And we're getting closer now, within 2 weeks of that June 20th NBA draft night. You guys have been great using that text and voicemail line. It is overflowing these days. I'm doing a solo show today. Jordan is off, so I figured I would try to clean up some of the excess overflow of that text and voicemail line. And before we do that, figured I would touch on the first big Woj bomb that we got yesterday of draft season. Atlanta and Brooklyn making a big deal that I think helps both teams in the directions they're trying to go. Before we get to that, just a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Untuck It. Thanks to Untuck It for sponsoring Locked On Bulls. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekends. No tucking, no tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off your order. So, as I said, Jordan is off today. I'll be doing a shorter solo episode to steer you into your first full summer weekend. Is that it? We're a week into June now. Crazy. Means nicer weather in Chicago. It means patio weather. It means drinking beers outside weather. And, of course, it means NBA draft stuff. And to that end, we had a very interesting piece of news break yesterday. As I said, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting a trade between the Brooklyn Nets and the Atlanta Hawks. The Nets sending Allen Crabbe with his $18.5 million contract to Atlanta, along with their number 17 pick in the 2019 NBA draft, a lottery-protected first-round pick in the 2020 draft, and the Hawks sending Torian Prince and a 2021 second-round pick back to Brooklyn. The deal can't be finalized until July 6th, so that will mean that the Hawks and Nets will make those respective picks for each other. Why did this trade happen? When you look at it from Atlanta's side, they are really doing an excellent job of rebuilding that team, and a lot of people kind of compare the Bulls and the Hawks, and maybe the Hawks are doing what the Bulls should be doing, taking on unwanted salary to acquire more picks to increase the likelihood of landing a big franchise-changing player via the draft. That now gives Atlanta the numbers 8, 10, and 17 picks in this draft coming up on June 20th. They also have 3 second-round picks as well. So they have some options. They could try and package 2 or 3 of those first-round picks in an effort to try to move up, perhaps getting up to number 5 to do a deal with the Cavs if they're not in love with anybody that's on the board after likely Zion, Ja, R.J. Barrett, and Darius Garland are off the board. That's one possibility. Or they could take a swing on all three of those first round picks, and hopefully one of them turns into a nice piece to add to this core that they have of Trey Young, John Collins, Kevin Herter. They got a nice young team, and they're not really ready to contend yet. So taking on that unwanted contract of Allen Crabbe doesn't really hurt them all that much. So it makes sense from Atlanta's perspective. And then the bigger story about this trade is certainly what the Brooklyn Nets are trying to do. Because not that long ago, this was a team that was shedding picks like crazy in that deal with the Celtics so that they could get Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to try and become contenders right away. Now, obviously, it didn't work out. That Brooklyn team never really made any noise. Heck, the Bulls even beat them in the first round back in 2013 with no Derrick Rose and a broken Joakim Noah and a bunch of other castaways. So the Brooklyn Nets had done a really good job of overcoming that awful trade and getting themselves back into relevancy. They found themselves a stud, stealing D'Angelo Russell away from the Lakers and watching him turn himself into an all-star this season. The Brooklyn Nets are an up-and-coming playoff team. But by executing this trade and shedding Allen Crabbe's contract, they now have close to the cap space available to offer two max slots to big name stars this summer. It'll be about $46 million now that the Nets will have available. And that's according to Woj's report on ESPN.com after this trade went down. So there are a lot of people asking about what that means. And obviously the biggest name here is current Celtics guard Kyrie Irving. Everybody believes that Kyrie is done in Boston and has a couple of teams that he's interested in. Obviously, his former teammate LeBron James and the Lakers have been in talks, and the two teams out there on the East Coast, the Knicks and the Nets. Sounds like, according to Woj's sources, and he's one of several who have started to talk about this over the last week, that Kyrie Irving is really more seriously considering the Brooklyn Nets as a potential destination, perhaps even more so than the New York Knicks. And perhaps maybe trying to coerce Kevin Durant to leave the Warriors and join Kyrie in Brooklyn. And this move, sending Crabbe to Atlanta to free up some more dollars, certainly puts that hypothetical situation into play. Does it also mean that the Nets have some kind of very confident understanding that Kyrie's made up his mind and he wants to go play in Brooklyn and they are ready to welcome him in? And if so, does that also mean that they are ready to let D'Angelo Russell go? An up-and-coming star who is certainly, in his own right, one of the best young scoring guards in the league right now. Maybe not quite on the level that Kyrie Irving is. Kyrie Irving has the best handles in the league and is a dominant player when healthy. And everything that we had heard throughout this season is that D'Angelo Russell was in love with Brooklyn and Brooklyn was in love with D'Angelo Russell. But maybe that's just because they didn't know that Kyrie Irving wanted to come there. And how does this contextually affect Bulls and Bulls fans? Well, we've been talking about D'Angelo Russell and the outside chance that maybe Brooklyn swings really hard on big names this summer and thus make D'Angelo Russell an expendable piece. A guy who, if he signs to an offer sheet elsewhere, the Brooklyn Nets won't match it because they want to spend that money on somebody else. Now, adding this additional money and opening up this extra cap space could theoretically mean that Brooklyn could sign Kyrie Irving and also afford to keep D'Angelo Russell. But to me, that situation is kind of odd because if you sign Kyrie, you're basically telling D'Angelo Russell, we want Kyrie Irving to be our starting point guard, not you. And how do you pair Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt? To me, that doesn't work very well. And then you have a contentious locker room, possible, boiling over kind of situation, a divided locker room, those people who are in favor of D'Angelo Russell and it being his team, and then people welcoming Kyrie and saying, no, it's his team now. to me, the concept of making this move so that they can keep D'Angelo Russell and sign Kyrie just doesn't seem very realistic to me. Doesn't seem very logical. What seems more logical is that they did it to offer close to two max contracts for two players not named D'Angelo Russell. Maybe it's Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Maybe it's Kyrie and somebody else. Jimmy Butler. Jimmy and Kyrie have talked for a long time about wanting to play together. Most people are right now saying that Philly's going to offer Jimmy the max and he's going to sign it and stay there. They've got a young team that, yeah, they bowed out in the second round, but there's certainly still plenty of potential there. And Jimmy looked like the most valuable player on that team in their playoff run, keeping them alive in a lot of games. So maybe the Kyrie and Jimmy pairing isn't as likely as perhaps it once was earlier this year. But two max slots, one of them's for Kyrie Irving, and maybe the other one is for Kevin Durant. And maybe Kevin Durant wants to leave Golden State. We'll see how these finals shake out. Maybe if they actually lose to Toronto, Kevin Durant says, you know what, I don't want to leave on that note. Or maybe it makes it easier for him to leave. Who knows? But one thing's for sure, I think the Knicks fan base and Knicks media would absolutely eat Kevin Durant alive. And perhaps Brooklyn seems like a bit nicer of a place to land for the next phase of his career, where he can still be in a giant market. He can still be in the Big Apple, the biggest, coolest, most awesome city that attracts a lot of NBA players. Obviously, tons of marketing and endorsement opportunities for Kevin Durant if he goes to New York, but is playing on the baby brother of the two teams in the NBA with much less pressure. So, with that, certainly a fascinating first trade to happen in this kind of leading up to the draft phase of our NBA calendar year here, and we'll see what other trades might evolve over the next couple of weeks leading up to June 20th. But to me, this one is certainly clear, and it's certainly beneficial and understandable to see why it benefits both teams involved. The Hawks continue their strategy of rebuilding with young players and draft pieces. In the meantime, taking on money that they can afford to take on, because they weren't going to be real players in free agency this year anyway, much like the Bulls in their Otto Porter trade. And the Nets open things up for swinging for the fences this summer. Really excited to see how all of that shakes out. With that, let's move on to our overflowing mailbag, and I will field a couple more questions from you guys. You are doing a great job. Please keep those texts and voicemails coming. Again, that number is 331-979-1369, the Locked On Bulls hotline for all of your Bulls questions, comments, concerns about the NBA draft, and much more. Before we get to that, just a reminder, today's show brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere you go. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. With that, let's go to our text and voicemail line. First text coming to us from Chris in Wheaton. And this is a great transition from our conversation about that Hawks-Nets trade that happened yesterday. Hey, guys. Now that Kyrie is rumored to be choosing between the Lakers and Nets, and we're not sure which team he's leveraging against the other, I got to ask again what you think about the Bulls pursuing D'Angelo Russell. All we'd have to do to make the cap space work is find a suitor for 2 years of Felicio at $8 million apiece, and to do that, we could give up a future first-round pick that I'd like to assume would fall out of the lottery, assuming the Bulls get better, if we signed D'Angelo Russell. We wouldn't have a great bench, but D'Lo is awesome and fits the timeline of all of our other young starters. Thanks for checking in, Chris. Now, the Bulls could, theoretically, offer D'Angelo Russell a max contract or close to it without having to find a suitor for Chris Felicio's contract, which I agree with you, Chris, is not happening unless the Bulls offer a pretty nice sweetener with it. Almost certainly a future first round pick. I still don't think that's very likely to happen. The other option, which I believe Jordan and I have touched on before, is that the Bulls could theoretically use the stretch provision on Felicio's remaining 2 years, which would add an additional $3 or $4 million to their cap space for this summer. And they also have that $3 million that they might be able to clear off their books because of Omer Asik. They've already filed the paperwork to have the league nix that against their cap because of their, you know, the medical whatever condition that that they could use to get that $3 million cleared out too. So the Bulls, if they do that and stretch Felicio, could theoretically go from having about $20 million in cap space, which they have are projected to have now, to somewhere closer to $26 or $27 million. And, you know, they could get rid of another non-guaranteed contract towards the end of their bench to, you know, to get a little bit closer to that number. So there is the way to do that. And they would probably have to throw all that money they have available at D'Angelo Russell. If, in fact, Kyrie comes, he gets a different star to come with him, and the Nets have to say goodbye to Russell and let him go. The Bulls would, in that scenario, almost certainly be competing with several other suitors for D'Angelo Russell's services because he just had a breakout all-star season. Do the Bulls have the best pitch to make D'Angelo Russell? You can come play in the backcourt with Zach LaVine, who also, in his own right, put up pretty close to all-star numbers last season. We've got a budding star front court in Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. We've got a great swing man in Otto Porter Jr. That's a pretty enticing starting five if you think about it. D'Angelo Russell, Zach LaVine, Otto, Lowry, and Wendell. That's probably a 40-win team in the Eastern Conference. Would I want the Bulls to swing for the fences and do that? So I'm saying you got to spread the money around a little bit, this Bulls roster. As Chris said himself, the bench would be really weak if you spend all your money on D'Angelo Russell. That is certainly the case. Hey, don't forget, we still got Denzel Valentine coming back from that 18th ankle slash foot slash knee injury. And Chandler Hutchison ready and waiting to take that next step. look, I do agree that the Bulls need to add depth. And if you spend all your money, you put all your eggs in the D'Angelo Russell basket, then it would, you know, really hamstring the Bulls and their ability to add actual talent to fill out the rest of the roster. And we saw this season that when a couple of their key players and starters go down with injury, oh my God, the rest of the roster was pretty hard to watch. So if you spend all your money on D'Angelo Russell and then suffer one or two or three significant injuries to your starting five like the Bulls did this previous season, then yeah, you're up shit creek and it doesn't look very pretty. But we keep asking ourselves, do the Bulls have that superstar talent? Have the Bulls in recent years acquired via trade or drafted a guy who could be the star on a team that is legitimately contending for championships? Can Lowry be that guy? Can Zach LaVine be that guy? And some people within the fan base believe, yes, that is in place. And there are certain doubters who say, no, not even close. We don't have a player of that potential. I think Jordan and I would like to optimistically think that maybe Markkanen could be that guy. I think Jordan thinks that in some ways maybe Zach LaVine could be that guy or could certainly be a great number two on a real contending team. But D'Angelo Russell answers that. D'Angelo Russell is a bigger star now than Zach LaVine is, than Lauri Markkanen is, than anybody else on this Bulls roster. You need stars to win in this league. D'Angelo Russell would immediately make the Bulls more relevant than they are now. Not an immediate contender, but to me, if you have the opportunity to get in a room with D'Angelo Russell and pitch him, come play with our young core, it's a great market. Chicago's great. You know, you can be the new hotshot star that the city falls in love with. Play alongside these other talented guys. If that is a pitch that's good enough to sell D'Angelo Russell, I say why not? Why the hell not? We keep talking about the Bulls not having enough star power on this roster. If you can get D'Angelo Russell, you go get D'Angelo Russell. That's my take. Thanks for checking in, Chris. The next one comes to us from the 205. Hey, guys, new to the show. Thanks for texting. I'm glad I found your podcasts. I think you are all too high evaluating Jared Culver and DeAndre Hunter. You can find these two players in every year's draft class. They'll both be good defenders that can't create their own shot. Coby White, on the other hand, will be an all-star in the NBA. He's 6'5", lightning quick, has a good jump shot, and on top of that, I wish we trade Chris Dunn for a late first-round pick in the 20s. Take KZ Okpala from Stanford. He has some Tracy McGrady in him. And Bol Bol will be a great player if healthy. All right, a lot there. Thanks for checking in. First of all, I feel like we've talked about Bol Bol. I don't think he's a realistic pick for the Bulls this year based on their needs and where he's projected. KZ Okpala is actually a guy that we haven't really talked about just because he's projected to be like a late 20s pick. But I really enjoyed watching him play the few games that I watched Stanford this past college season. He has a really awesome build for today's NBA. He's like 6'9". He's got a 7'2 wingspan. He's got crazy athleticism and leaping ability. Certainly can do a lot of interesting and dominant things on the offensive end. He's great cutting to the basket. His backdoor cuts, his ability to beat guys off the dribble, especially when he goes baseline, are really impressive from the tape that I've watched. He is, for a guy of his size and his wingspan, not that impressive on the defensive end. That's my grief with Okpala. I mean, he didn't, like, he averaged half a block a game in his two collegiate seasons. That's not very, you know, for a guy with a 7'2 wingspan and his size, that's not very impressive. Also, not like he's going to be a main facilitator for any team at the NBA level. He's going to be a combo guard wing kind of player, but his assist to turnover ratio is real ugly. He averaged 2 assists per game his second year at Stanford and turned the ball over 2.9 times per game. That's pretty gross. But again, just nitpicking, highlighting some of the weaker elements to his game. I really like him. But to me, if you're saying keep an eye on him because the Bulls should trade Chris Dunn for a late first-round pick, I'd say you're wasting your time. The Bulls, even in this week draft class, there is no way in hell the Bulls are getting a first-round pick straight up for Chris Dunn. Not happening. Zero chance. So, sorry if I bursted your bubble on that one. But let's go to this texture's main question, or main point, about people needing to chill out on Culver and Hunter and saying that Coby White is a much better prospect. Coby White will be an all-star in the NBA? Well, appreciate and respect your opinion, but there's certainly no guarantee of that happening. And look, I mean, I think maybe you're saying that Jordan and I are too high on DeAndre Hunter and Jared Culver because we've recently spent episodes talking about each of those guys as potential fits for the Bulls, their strengths, their weaknesses, and how their games might translate to the NBA. And we have both talked pretty glowingly about those two guys. You may have been misinterpreting the way that we spoke about them. Look, if I'm being bluntly honest, I'm not very excited about anybody that the Bulls are projected to pick at 7. I really, really wanted the Bulls to get lucky and obviously, get number one in Zion or consolation prize 2 and get Ja Morant, and was crushed when neither of those things happened. Because guess what? Everybody else in this draft class, it's really hard to get excited about any of them. And none of them, based on what we know now, are franchise-changing kind of talents. My buddy John from Outsiders always reminds me, we never know. Look at the elite players that are still playing in this Raptors-Warriors finals. A lot of nobodies when they were drafted, and now they're stars and important role players on the best teams in the league. So that is a valid point to always offer perspective. We never know. Yeah, it's a disappointment that the Bulls are picking 7th in a weak draft class. Could whoever they pick end up turning into a star? Sure. Could that player be point guard Coby White, who could end up turning into a star? Sure, it's possible. But I think that Jordan and I have been trying to talk ourselves into getting excited about these picks because we're masking disappointment for where the Bulls are picking. I think that's, you know, that's basically what it is. But, I mean, look, we talk about drafting for positional need versus drafting best available. If you ask me, best available, Jared Culver or Cody White, I would tell you Jared Culver. So in that sense, maybe this 205 texture and I disagree on what it comes to ceilings and NBA potential for Jared Culver and Kobe White. DeAndre Hunter, I would put him and Kobe White closer together. I think Culver's the best of the three as far as overall ceiling and potential. But, you know, I think it's a push. If the Bulls weren't so sorely needing a point guard, I would say absolutely take DeAndre Hunter. Pass on Kobe White. Again, just my opinion. Clearly, our texter from the 205 has a different opinion, and no disrespect to Kobe White. I wouldn't hate it if he's on the board at 7 and Culver's off the board and DeAndre Hunter is available and the Bulls take Kobe White over DeAndre Hunter. I would not be upset by that, just because I know that this team really needs a point guard, and who knows, maybe Kobe White could be that guy. Thanks for checking in. Our next text comes from the 815. Hey, guys, first-time texter. Wow, we got a lot of first-time calls and texters. Appreciate that, everybody. Hope you keep them coming. 815 asks, with the recent additions to the coaching staff so far, how big of a jump do you see the younger players like Lowry, Wendell, and Hutchinson making next season? Great question. Jordan and I have talked recently about the additions to Jim Boylan's staff. First, getting Chris Fleming from Brooklyn. And wouldn't that be a cool story and an additional reason to lure D'Angelo Russell away if the Nets go after Kyrie? Hey, we brought your Kenny Atkinson's boy, Chris Fleming, over, and he's part of our staff now. Come on over, D'Lo. So I really like that hire. And then Jordan and I recently also talked about the hire of Roy Rogers, who had spent the last several seasons on Mike D'Antoni's staff. When it comes to Rogers, Jordan and I talked about how he was given a good deal of credit for not only being a big helping hand along with Jeff Podzelic to, you know, be the architects of the Rockets defense over the years, which certainly was not like one of the best defenses in the league, but had certainly made strides from being one of the worst, and certainly led to them being a real contender as opposed to just a team that puts up 130 points a night. But specifically with Roy Rogers, he was given a lot of credit for the growth of Clint Capella. So, you know, to me, that is a great clear sign of, if he can do that with Clint Capella, why can't he do the same with Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., specifically working with front court guys, because back in his playing days, Roy Rogers was a front court guy. So maybe to a lesser extent, that applies to Chandler Hutchinson. But, you know, we already know that the high point of Hutch's game is his defensive versatility, his ability to rebound the ball and get the ball out on the break as a wing player. Certainly, you know, he might pick up another thing or two from Roy Rogers, but the most exciting part of that hire is, of course, Lowry and Wendell, and watching their growth on the defensive end. And then with, you know, with Chris Fleming, you look at some of the improvements that Jarrett Allen made. Like, my God, you know, I think that they got a steal when they drafted him where they did a couple years ago. Certainly, he was a guy that I thought was at least should be someone the Bulls paid attention to when they were scouting. Kind of an underwhelming first year, but then this year, I mean, even look back to some of those Bulls-Nets games from this season. Jarrett Allen was destroying us. That guy made a big jump this season and is a real up-and-coming, you know, young star in the front court. Just can absolutely wreck rims and backboards as a rebounder, as an offensive rebounder. He developed a pretty nice post-up game, works well really close to the basket, and, you know, I'm not sure how much credit Chris Fleming gets for that, but I'm guessing that he at some point spent some time working with Allen to develop that, you know, those various elements to his game. And if he can help Markkanen and Wendell make some of those same jumps that we saw Jarrett Allen make this year, then yeah, that's all great too. So again, I like both of the hires. I think they're going to be good for the team. I think they're going to be good for Jim Boylan. How much of a leap will these young players on the Bulls roster make because of these hires? If they stay healthy, we could see these players make big leaps this year. But that's the key. They got to stay healthy. But again, you look at what Roy Rogers did in Houston. You look at what Fleming has done with those Brooklyn Nets that you know were a really young, exciting team this past season. And I like the potential that those hires hold. Saw this. What are your thoughts? It's from the 785. So this comes from a Pistons blog, Piston Powered, which I believe is SB Nation. The Pistons desperately need a shooter, and Denzel Valentine can fit that role with the Pistons. The Pistons would package the 15th overall pick, their 45th pick, and Langston Galloway for Denzel Valentine and Chris Dunn. Wow. Yeah. If I am the Bulls front office and I am proposed that trade, I take it. Sorry to upset C. Red Fred and any Denzel stands out there listening. Look, you know, I was just talking about trade value and the Bulls' need for a point guard, and a recent texter was saying you should swap Chris Dunn for a first-round pick, and I said no way in hell that happens. If the Pistons actually make this trade because they so badly want that shooter to add to their team, and they'll happily take Denzel and Chris Dunn as an add-on and are willing to give up a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and just throw in Galloway to match contracts because Galloway makes about $7 million. Denzel and Dunn's salaries this next coming season add up to about the same. Galloway, in my opinion, is just a nothing. He's a wash. He's not a good player. I mean, the dude's career field goal percentage is 38.7. What? Yikes. And he's coming off a pretty disappointing year. So he's just the throw in to that deal. If I'm the Bulls, I say yes to this deal. Add yourself another pick. Maybe with 7 and 15, you could swap those and move up. I doubt it, but it's certainly, you know, an option. And you know, give yourself another opportunity in the second round. You know, you keep 38, you add 45 to that. Maybe you package those to move up a little bit higher towards the beginning of the second round. If there's a guy you really want and you're afraid he's going to slip, a lot of different opportunities with the way that that could work out. If the Pistons actually wanted to do this deal, I say yes. You get something for a guy who's not reliable health-wise in Denzel Valentine, and hey, guess what? I could have been talking about Chris Dunn with that same phrase. I would absolutely take that deal. Do I think that deal is likely? No, I don't. All right. Last one, and then we will get out of here and send you on into your merry Chicago weekends. This is Brandon in the Burbs. Brandon in the Burbs asks, would you do this trade? Markkanen, the number 7 pick, and a future first for this year's number 1. Would you do it if you're the Bulls? Would you do it if you're the Pelicans? Obviously, you'd have to believe that Zion is a franchise changer. Whew, wow. I think this is actually a new one as far as, you know, draft night trade proposals. I have not heard this one. Lowry, the 7th pick, a future first for this year's number 1. If I'm the Pelicans, do I make this trade? No, I don't. It's a pretty sweet package. Lowry is a rising star and has all NBA potential, certainly all-star potential, and a number 7 pick and a future first. Pelicans would probably be a lot more enticed to take that deal if it's an unprotected first. I doubt that the Bulls would do this deal with it being an unprotected first. Would I do this deal if I'm the Bulls? You give up Lowry, who you've spent a couple years developing, who's shown great potential. You give up the number 7 pick this year, which is kind of meh, but it's still a top 10 pick. Weak draft class or not, it's still a top 10 pick. Those still carry value. And a future first. Again, protected probably is the way that the Bulls would want to do that. Would I give up all of that for Zion Williamson? That's a hard, hard question. And I love Lowry Markkanen. You loyal listeners out there know how much I believe in Lowry Markkanen and his potential to be the face of this franchise. So it's a really hard decision to give up on that. But I think I'd do it. I think I'd take that trade. Zion just brings so much superstar potential. And if I'm being honest, marketability. This fan base is desperate for something exciting. And I know a lot of you out there are believers in LaVine and believers in Markkanen and believers in Wendell. And I like to consider myself a believer on most days too. But could you imagine the hype around this city if we got Zion? I mean, you don't have to imagine it. We were there. The outsiders were doing a draft lottery watch party at Public House just last month. And probably some of you listening to this were among the group of people who packed that place to capacity well over an hour before the draft lottery even started. There was a line out the door and down the block for people who wanted to be a part of the experience to hopefully watch the Bulls get Zion. That's how much this fan base wanted that to happen. Because this fan base is desperate for a superstar. We haven't had one since Derek tore his ACL. Jimmy Butler was a great player. Star, absolutely. All-star. Made an All-NBA team. Superstar? No. Zion offers that potential. As much as it would kill me to trade Lauri Markkanen, if that's what I have to do, give up Lauri the 7th and a future first and get Zion, pair Zion with Zach LaVine, a front court of Zion and Wendell Carter Jr., pretty interesting. And it'd be really hard to turn that down. But again, if I'm the Pelicans, do I make that trade? No. Not passing up the opportunity to get Zion freaking Williamson. Carries way too much star power and weight for a franchise that is about to lose Anthony Davis. They have to have a megastar ready and waiting in the wings. Zion has that more than Lauri Markkanen has that, I'm sorry to say. All right, that's it. Again, thanks to our texters, our callers. You guys are amazing as we are in what is kind of like a down part of the offseason. You guys are still listening, still tuning in, still sending us questions and comments because that's how awesome this fan base is. 331-979-1369 is that number. Keep them coming throughout the weekend. Jordan and I will get to more of your texts and calls on next Wednesday's mailbag episode. Before we get out of here, just a reminder that in addition to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all those spots, you can now get Locked On Bulls and every podcast of the Locked On Network on Himalaya. They have awesome features. I just recently started using Himalaya myself. They have an episodic shareable playlist that you can make. You can build podcast playlists by the episode. Different podcasts, different genres of podcasts. Make them into a playlist, customize it just like a playlist like you would for songs when you're making a playlist for a party, and you can share it. That's the coolest part. You can share the playlist through social media, through text, through emails. It's an awesome feature. Check out Himalaya. Find it. Download it. The Himalaya app on your App Store or Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On Bulls once you're there. Shout out to Himalaya. Great new podcasting device that you can listen to Locked On Bulls all day, every day, 5 days a week. For my partner, Jordan Malley, who will be back next week, I am Matt Peck, reminding you, we're at Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. He's at Jordan C. Malley. I'm at Bulls_Peck. And again, 331-979-1369. Matt Peck saying, be good this weekend, Bulls Nation. Have a great time. Be safe. Enjoy, hopefully, some nice Chicago summer weather. Keep those draft questions coming. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. We're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.